Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Are you ready? Do you have a song?
Yeah, I just, you know...
Oh, God.
I got another soundtrack. I was never into Calvin Harris, but that's actually a fun track.
Just to go again.
I'll find it.
You know, that's it's a fucking great song. But some bangers have been coming up from the early 90s on my feed lately. When I met you in
the summer. Got it. I didn't even know what you were doing. Do you think that you're that clear with your... with your...
Well, I don't make that fucking face first off, do I? It's a fucking great track. Can you imagine being in a fucking place with 100,000 people? Like, how awesome. How fucking awesome.
Do you actually think it'd be awesome right now?
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
Right now, you would do it.
Yeah, I can't wait for my kids to go do that. I can't wait for my kids to come back and go, Dad, I was at tomorrow.
I'm going to tomorrow now, Alexi.
I was at tomorrow night. Are you?
Apparently.
Is that the plan? That'd be great. You're going to have to bring Lola along.
Lola, I said, if I go on a trip with Lexi when she's 18, roughly, said, and I do one with you when you're around 18, where do you want to go? She goes, somewhere tropical. I'm like, I'm thinking Tomorrowland again. Somewhere tropical, Mills.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
then.
They like the old travel thing.
Yeah.
Which is good for them. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so I think today we had a few questions that people were asking.
Right.
And we're going to answer some of those questions. So let's not spend an hour on every question.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so the first question is, how do you show up in life when all you want to do is tell people to fuck off because you've got no energy and you've got a business and you've got to show up in your business and you just can't because you just have no energy and you just feel like you don't want to talk to people and stuff like that. And obviously stuff like that happens occasionally. What's your thoughts on that? How do you show up when you feel like you don't want to and you can't?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of answers to that. First off, the no energy thing has generally, I mean, obviously there's the physical side of it. So you've got to be eating properly, make sure that you've got the right vitamins in your body and in your system. You've got to be drinking lots of water, so you've got to keep your energy levels up. Also, I think that all work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy.
So do you think it's a work-life balance thing?
People think when they first get into their career, right, let's say they're starting a business, they think, oh my God, I just love my business and I love doing what I'm doing and I love just being with the people and I love just being with the, you know, traveling and I just love, like, but if you keep doing the same, it's a bit like, do you remember we heard the album Dead Males?
Right? That's such a great album. Do you remember what it's called?
Dead Mouse, it was called. It's a really quirky name. I can't remember.
It's called Random Album.
Random Album Title, that's right. And, like, Random Album Title was hands down one of the greatest albums for about 5 years.
It was so good. And then all the tracks, on the last track, they were individual tracks, and then on the last track, it was one full continuous mix.
One full continuous mix. And it just made Deadmau5's career. And so, but when you listen to that mix, it is absolutely bonkers, right? Okay, but listen to it 10,000 times, which is what my wife did.
Oh, I love it. I still put it on occasionally and I just laugh at it.
Fucking ruined it for me. Anyway, but you can listen to that album and it just gets better and better and better and better. And I think that's
part of the problem. I don't know what point you're trying to make.
Well, you find out something that you love doing, but you keep doing it and you don't realise that...
Well, you're doing it in the same way.
Yeah, you're doing it in the same way, but there's also other things that you're not doing.
Right,
it's what are you not doing while you're doing the things that you're doing.
Very good.
And what are you not doing while you're doing the things that you're doing that you should be doing that actually also allow you to exercise your sense of being by yourself, you know, understanding who you are, nurturing yourself, taking care of yourself.
So even though the job is something that a person would love, if that's the only thing, it can get to the place where you're just feeling like you're on repeat and you're not getting anything new out of it. Yeah. So you've got to create your life so it's not just the thing.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is if somebody is showing up in their life with no energy at a job that they love, there's other things going on, meaning
yeah.
either the physical side
yeah.
or they're spending too much time trying to do the one thing and they have to incorporate other things and bring in some balance.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel when you come to work here that you don't have energy for the work? Because I think I've had that occasionally, but when I've had that, something else has been happening.
Yeah, I kind of worked that out a long time ago. Do you know what I mean? I kind of feel that I worked that out a long time ago, and but it can still happen because
yeah.
we can fall on our the same
yeah,
traps
of course,
and
yeah.
fall, you know. Yeah, but it can still happen. But I generally got. I mean, I even with you guys, and you know, the team that I have around me. And the thing we have around is they know, okay, he needs to be left alone. You know, he just let him have some time off, you know. They, you know, you need to be eating well. The guys always make sure that I've always got the right food in front of me and stuff. So I think that, yeah, I've worked that out a long time ago. And
yeah,
just
set yourself
stuff.
Up and set your life up
like,
so that you know
yeah.
that there's certain things that
yeah.
make it work so that you can be present.
Yeah.
I think for me, the biggest thing when I don't have energy is if there's something physical going on, like if you're actually physically unwell.
Yeah.
And also if... you know, I haven't given myself my own time. So for me, it's really important to have... Like, for example, this weekend, I won't have any time to myself. But I know I do next weekend, so it's okay. Do you know what I mean? I know I've got, you know, I've got certain things and I love what I do. It's totally fine. But if I had next weekend where I didn't have... I, again, had so full commitment, I was had somebody with me the whole weekend or whatever, I think I would probably go nuts. So I have to set it up. So that I can do that, so that I can bring energy to the places where, yeah. So what would you do if you find yourself in that spot? So if you're actually finding yourself in that spot. So I'm not talking how do you preempt it and get to a point where you're not in the spot. But if you do find yourself in that spot, what would you be doing? Would you tell people, look, I'm just, would you set boundaries with people?
Well, if you're not doing your values work with another partner, if you haven't got a partner who... Like with Ange, Ange will say to me, you need to go and spend some time with your mates.
Right, because she can see that you're not...
That I'm not
yourself.
Myself.
Yeah.
And she'll go, she knows the remedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need to go and ride. Go and ride, get out.
Yeah.
Get out of the house, come back. Don't come back for 2 hours. Go
yeah.
ride.
Yeah.
And so, but if you're not...
Try not to fall over the fucking handlebars again.
You're trying not to fall over
the handlebars. Okay.
And, but if you...
So have people in your life who can help you too.
Yeah, yeah. But, and you know, there's... I'm not a... at all fucking
anymore
vomit woke anyway but she had a really good thing where she's like you should have three people's names in
five,
your wallet
five I think it is yeah
well let's make it three
okay
five,
make
girl.
It three
this is an MJB thing fuck Brené Brown and so you have the three names in your pocket that you keep on a piece of paper that are your go to people that keep you accountable to your values. You know, and when you're off track, do or know what the things are that you need to do that you fucking love, and go do those things.
Think,
do the things that you love.
100%. I think I've been saying
not
that
just
to
one thing.
Yeah, I've been saying that to a few people lately. It's, you know, you've got your people. Utilize the people around you. Communicate with the people around you. You know, I can speak to you about some stuff. And I get great insight. And then there's some things that you would be the last person I would speak to, not because I don't love you or appreciate you, but because you just don't have the same insight in those certain things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I've got a few of those people in my life that I know I can turn to
yeah.
if I have concerns or if I do feel like I'm, you know, not my 100% myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is a, I think that's an underutilized technique or skill to be able to turn to the people that you need to turn to. I think
yeah.
It took me a while to sort of figure that out as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want it all from one person as well,
yeah.
Or you want it all from one place, and you think you're going to get all your fulfillment from the job, or all your fulfillment. You get all your fulfillment from being all of who you are, and just because you love your job and you value it doesn't mean that that is the be all and end all. There's other
yeah.
things that make you you. Okay, so I think that answers that question. I'm going to go to another question because it kind of relates to that. So we have a lot of people ask us about, you know, living their vision, right? So we're very big on when you live your vision, the money comes anyway. And I was saying this to you before the most recent Mastermind of Monies, that some people take that and misunderstand what we're saying, right? And I just want to cover that, right? Because it's like, how do you know when you're just doing your job or you're moving on to living your vision?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And one of the biggest issues I find with people is they quit the job because they think that we're all about go live your vision and the money's going to come anyway. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. There's a process and a system that you have to go through to be able to earn the right to say, yeah, no, I'm not going to be working here anymore because I can move over here and then I'm following my vision, right? So actually, there's two things. Firstly, if you feel like your job is not aligned with your vision, make sure that you find out how it is and how it's helping you to live your vision. That's number one. But number two is...
But the other problem is that people, when you say the word vision to a person, they tie it up with their career.
Correct. And it's not just all about career.
Right.
Yeah, it's everything.
You mean my career?
No. Right. Yeah. So that's another part of it. But then there's just been so many people who've just like quit their jobs and they haven't earned the right to. Mm-hmm. And their job was giving them, even though they may not have been fully content in the work, but it was giving them the ability to maintain a certain level of lifestyle so that they can build something along at the same time or along the side. And realistically, you shouldn't leave your job until you're at least earning 50 to 75% of what you would be taking home in your job in your little side hustle. And
yeah,
then
look, I always
you say 75, don't you?
No, I say you've got to be doing... Yeah, the only time you get earned it right is when it matches or it's at least or at a maximum 150% above what you're earning.
I thought you did less. I know people who
do
less.
The problem is that I do as well. But
because what that means is that
you're still emotional.
Yeah, but what it means is that if you know you're doing 75% as a side hustle and you're doing your full-time work over here, you know that if you put the full-time work in and the side hustle, then you could be doing...
Yeah, 100%, but you also got to make sure that people know and have mapped out that when I leave
100%.
It over here and go over here, these are the steps that I do to get to 100, from 75 to 150%.
Oh, 100%.
Because they leave and they come over and they don't know how the fuck they're going to do it.
And they don't.
And then suddenly, you know, they're in a multi-level marketing business and they're fucking, nobody's buying any Kangol water anymore and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah. You know, like...
And so then, what it does is it puts all the energy and all the emotion on building wealth and building to be able to just go back and maintain the lifestyle that they were already living.
Every time we run a massive amount of money, I meet at least one person that has literally just done that.
Yeah,
they've
just
left
misunderstood.
They've to follow something else. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
And the people that we work with and come alongside us and we help them to build up their thing... And then they earn the right to do it. It's a completely different story.
Yeah,
you know?
And what tends to happen is that when they're doing that, they had no appreciation on the career they were in the first place that was able to lead them to see that there was something greater for them to do. So because they have no appreciation, they walk away from it, and it costs them both the thing that they wanted to do plus their career. Mm-hmm. And they have to start all over again because they didn't get the fucking the memo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your career got you to a point where you could have sustain you and have revealed to you what it is you would actually want to do. Mm-hmm. And the person that you were working for in your career, they basically built an organization, scaled an organization based on a blueprint and a map that guaranteed their freedom and the life, guaranteed them a life that they wanted to be able to go and live. Mm-hmm. So the work that you need to do to be able to embark on fulfilling the vision is always around you. You just have to look at the person who built the career that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as hanging out with your CFO or the owner of the business and asking them questions: how do you build a business? How do you scale? How do you grow? How do you build something so that I can do the same for my own life?
Yeah.
But people think that they're suddenly going to leave their career and become the CEO of their own life.
Yeah.
And when you don't know anything,
well, you just have to.
Risks, rewards, nothing.
You've got to earn your way up to that.
Yeah.
Earn your way up to that.
So, what was the actual question in the first place?
Oh, about when? How do you know the difference between, like, how do you know when you're following your vision or you're not following your vision?
Mm.
And do you know what I mean? How do you know when to leave your job, kind of thing? And too many people try to do it without actually earning the right to do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
And then there's another thing in becoming owning a business, right? You have to understand, people get into their business side of things without understanding that there's fucking blind spots within your life. You know, you don't know what role you actually should be playing when you go to pursue your career.
Mm.
Yet, like, you might be a really good technical background idea of things, or just dealing with a guy at the moment that's kind of going through the same stuff. He's not good front of house.
Yeah.
He's good back of house.
Yeah.
But he's not good front of house, and he needs to be front of house.
Mm-hmm.
So he's having to do something that really puts him outside his comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you should never leave or walk away from anything until you understand what is required in the business, what the triad is within the business, what role you play within that triad, and how you're going to replace the other two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Good. All right. The next question is, this is from somebody who's seeing some of the clients. This is from one of our coaches who's seeing the clients, some of the clients. You kind of overanalyzing. So they're doing the MJB work and they're seeing some of the clients overanalyzing their behaviors. And she's saying, how can you have the balance between doing the MGB work, right, and overanalyzing people's behavior? So let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've had this, actually, I have this with a couple of my clients, not so much now, but my previous clients, right? Am I keeping you awake?
Yeah.
So they would use the work, but it's almost like the work is like he behaved that way, but, you know, I know that I created it type of situation. Or I'm running a business and my staff is, I know that they went through a hard time when they were kids. So I'm just going to behave in a certain way to them because I've done the work. Do you know what I mean? Like they're using the work as almost like a tool to avoid actually doing the work that they need to do, because realistically what they're being called on, like with my client, is to stand up and say what needs to be said.
Right.
And these people who are owning the businesses, they're being called on to stand up and actually run the fucking business.
Yep.
And they're trying to use what they know to almost protect themselves or as a scapegoat. So some people are using the work almost as a scapegoat so that they don't have to do the work. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying is they're weaponizing the work against themselves, and they're robbing the person of their dignity. So and that's what happens. So if the person went through a hard time, and you're going, oh, they went through a hard time, all you're doing is you're inflating the lopsided state. And you're perpetuating the issue for the person.
Yeah, because you're not actually helping them by pandering to the shite that's going on and the behaviour.
Yeah, it's a positive feedback system.
Yeah.
And the positive feedback systems are very dangerous within an organisation. And the best thing for you to do is to make that employee, you know, give them their dignity, accountable, productive, responsible, and creative. And if you give them their dignity, they're going to appreciate you. If you pander to their and perpetuate their fractured state, they're going to fucking hate you.
Yeah.
And that's why, that's why you, as the director, manager, CFO, CEO, whatever it is, of the business, your job is always to lead the way for the person to become more whole as an individual and not more fractured.
But the thing is in order to help another person become more whole, you have to lead the way.
Yeah.
So what you're trying to do is trying to be nice, and you're not understanding, and so the nastiness or the opposite comes from the person, and so you're the one suffering, but also they're suffering as well. Whereas when you can stand up and go, no, I have to be all of myself here in this role, which means that I have to understand what this role involves. Doesn't mean not having any kind of compassion, right? But it does mean that if I understand what this role involves, and this role involves this, and this, you expect that needs to be complete or done, and you're not just going to be, oh, they had a hard life. You know,
because
I mean?
Then you're, if you think like that, you're never going to have the right staff.
And you're not going to help them.
Every fucker has had a hard life,
well,
or something happened to them. And yeah, you're right.
And you're not helping them. You think you're helping them, but you're actually crippling them because they're not being called to stand up into their own power.
Yeah.
They're using their story to play small, and you're allowing it, you're pandering it to it, and it's just,
you've got a
dependent, cool.
codependent relationship within the business. It's one kind of what happened here. You know, somebody said to me the other day, is there, Anne, can I come and work for you guys? And I tend to not ever allow a team to employ clients. And because people think they can come in here and this is made of work for us and this is the place where they're going to do all their personal growth. And it's like, no. You're coming in here to fucking work.
It's a business, yeah.
This is an organisation. This is a business and you're coming in here to work.
Mm.
This is not, oh, I'm going to come in here and fucking be counselled by Mitch and
yeah.
Mills. No. You're coming in here to do a job and you're coming in here to work. And so it's saying, if you see that you're doing that in terms of how you're employing people, you have a dependent, codependent relationship, and it's what you create in those scenarios is you create a master slave situation, and you don't want a master slave situation, because your slaves are people who are held in their insecurities,
yeah,
and used. You know, their career becomes something that they get to think they can avoid their insecurities in.
But do you think that it's not, and that's not just in career, that can happen socially, it can
yeah.
happen in every area, right? Yeah, and so we just pander to people and don't give them the opportunity to stand up. But you're not doing, but that's because you're afraid
yeah,
to
you're
stand
the problem.
Up.
You're the fucking problem.
It's
if you're doing
them.
That to people, you're the fucking problem.
Yeah, okay. Last question then is, people are asking, like, how they fix their emotions,
yeah.
right? Now, the first thing I'd say with that is if you're an angry person and you understand that you're an angry person, right? And you're asking how to fix your emotions, you're obviously aware enough to have an awareness and an understanding that the emotion isn't you. Do you know what I mean? And potentially how you're expressing that emotion is probably not conducive to the outcome of what you would like. Okay, so that's good. Let's set that baseline. Having said that, our job is not to fix our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to love every part of ourselves. And when we're trying to fix, because people spend so much energy trying to fix it. And I know for me, I thought I was broken because I get emotional at things, right? But the way I share emotions is that I have tears come.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, before I did any work, it was all of the time. And now I realize, probably about, I don't know, 15 years ago, I realized that when those emotions were showing up, it was because I wasn't clear with something. Life was trying to show me something. I wasn't clear with something. So the emotions were a bit of a guiding light to help me to see that. If I'm trying to get rid of it, I'm ignoring that. I'm ignoring the lesson it's trying to show me. And I also used to think that in my emotions, that just because I was emotional and I cried, that people who were emotional in different ways were not emotional. And people who are emotional in, like, let's say, for example, anger, are still freaking emotional. They just don't cry when when I'm emotional,
mm-hmm.
whether I'm sad or if I'm joyful or if I'm angry, the tears come.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? If it's at that level. Whereas people who are angry or people who are sad or people who've got other things going on, sometimes we don't think that they are emotional because they're not expressing it in the form of tears, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the emotion's still there. But people are then trying to fix their anger, or they're trying to stop at something that is a natural human emotion. And what I would say to that, I'll get your opinion in a sec, but what I would say to that is that you've got to understand and allow that as a human being, you are going to have those things, you're going to have those emotions. Your emotions are not the issue. If you keep trying to fix them, then you are not understanding what it is that they're trying to show you,
mm.
is how I see it.
Well, emotions are just the GPS.
Yeah.
They're just trying to point you back in.
Yep.
Emotions are just, they're chemical compounds that allow you to feel where you're off track. Without
mm.
them, you would never know you were off track. And so emotions are just a guidance. That's all. Am I keeping you up, mate?
Yeah. Well, you were yawning before as well when I was talking. So.
Contagious. Anyway, so emotions are really important. You don't want to get rid of them. You need to listen to what they're trying to show you and tell you.
Yeah, they're a bit of a beacon, right? They're
yeah.
a bit of a guiding light.
Yeah, I always give the analogy, if you've got a flame in front of you, hold your hand over the flame, you're going to get burnt. Yeah. So that's because you're violating the law of nature. And you will feel it, right? So when you're violating natural law, meaning when you're violating your natural state of equanimity and balance, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Where the emotion, what the emotion is and where it turns up will tell you where the imbalance is within the mind.
Yeah.
So you just got to look at, okay, am I angry? Why am I angry? Okay, what's it showing me? How is it enabling me? What is it teaching me?
Well, this is the thing, right? If, as an adult, if you're being, if you've got a kid that comes up to you and is angry or sad or joyful or excited, if you are, you know, if you're a balanced kind of parent and you can handle your own emotions, and a kid comes up to you sad, you don't, for the most part, you don't go and say, you don't need to be sad. You let the kid be sad. And when the kid is allowed to feel the emotion and they're not repressing it or suppressing it, then the emotion doesn't hold the weight.
Yeah.
It holds the weight in adults because we don't let ourselves feel it. And so, and we're trying to get rid of it. So it's there and it persists because we don't want to own it. If you can act like a kid and you can give yourself the same grace you would give a kid, it's actually reasonable to be sad right now. Give yourself a minute to feel it. It's okay. But, you know, one of the things we say is, you know, give yourself a time limit, maybe 7 minutes or whatever, and let yourself feel it.
Yeah.
There's no problem with feeling it. If there's an issue if you let it take over your life and you make it your identity because that's, you know, yeah, this is the thing you cart around. But for the most part, when you let a person feel the things that they have to feel, that helps you to process it. It helps you to allow, oh, this is okay. Otherwise you have the desires of a dead person, because a dead person doesn't feel anything. You're meant to feel. You're meant to experience in this life. Stop trying to stop it. And then what I recommend to all my people, my group that I coach, Mindset Club, one of our rules in the Mindset Club is to make sure that you're inquisitive, right? And what I mean by that is you ask questions why. Rather than giving yourself a hard time, oh, you shouldn't have been sad or you shouldn't have been angry, you should have. What happened that made that happen? What was going on for me in that moment? What might have set me off on that pathway? Because then what you're doing is you're asking yourself questions, you're trying to create this relationship with yourself where you start to understand why you're behaving the way you're behaving. And that's not a judgment, it's a curiosity. And the curiosity is what leads to the growth in the long run, because you can go, oh, okay, I didn't realize it, but when I look back, this person said this and I think that set me off, or that, you know. And so then you can go have the conversation you need, or you can go do something, take an action that you need. But you're not trying to fix the emotion. You're grateful to the emotion for showing you something about yourself that you can go then and grow from, you know, and develop from, and evolve from, is how I see it. There you go.
Yes, indeed. And we all know what curiosity did, didn't it?
What did it do, Mitch? Could tell everyone.
It killed the cat.
Oh, my God. Okay, good. Good questions.